This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And it has been a magnificent Friday. And we are going to have fun this hour. We're going to start out probably a little heavier talking about Democrats benefiting from Trump's policies. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Tall Guy Island. Someone wants to know if the wife is invited. J.D. Vance bringing Elon Musk back into the fold. A nurse, treating an illegal, has conflicted emotions. All that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's begin here. Dear Beaver Master, as the winning continues, every single American is benefiting from Trump's policies, and yet Dems will continue to fight, lie, and cheat to undermine this administration. Has their brainwashing really worked, or are they just plain stupid? He says his name is Rob. Okay, first of all, let's understand something. And this does not just apply to Democrats, but since they're the ones that are kind of out of power, federal power right now, we'll make this just about Democrats. If you are a Democrat member of Congress, if you are a Jamie Raskin, if you're a Democrat senator, if you're Chuck Schumer, Tammy Duckworth, any of these people, these are not people who sit around thinking about the country. That never enters their mind. When I talk about the three things they all have in common, which I've been boring you with for years now, three things, all of them have in common: no love of country, no connection to the real world, and they see themselves as kings and queens. Remember, number one is the most important thing in all this. Love conquers all, not to sound like the Beatles, but it's all you need. That sounds like the Beatles. Quit. Love is important. For a leader in a country, loving it is the most important thing. You may screw up. As a parent, I promise you, I have screwed up. It saddens me to think about the bad parts of me that I undoubtedly have passed on to my sons. But I loved them. Love them. And they know it. And that's enough. Loving your country is enough. But when you don't have that, when that never enters your mind, you're going to go to a very dark place. So let's just talk about Democrat politicians. They don't care that crime is going to go down. They don't care that some things are getting more affordable, that the jobs market is getting better for Americans. Why would they care? These are people who only care about power. They don't care about you. They most definitely don't care about the country. Shoot, if you're an elected Democrat, you can't even pretend to care about the country. You have to crap on the thing all the time. That doesn't move the needle for them. Now that's them. Let's set the politicians aside and let's talk about the Democrat voter, your liberal Aunt Peggy, your mom, your sister, your coworker, the Democrat voter in your life. Let's talk about them. Do you think they're excited? They're not. Let me explain. A communist is a herd animal, as you know. And as we've discussed, they will create, they're amazing at this, in their religion, in their cult, they will create things you should worship. And there's new gods all the time. There's always a new idol they will craft. One day it's a COVID vaccine. The next day it's George Floyd. The next day it's Ukraine. They will create, this is the thing you have to love above all others. And then the second they're done with it, they just chuck it in the trash. They never bring it up again. And Democrats will go along with it. And they do the same thing for who you're supposed to hate. I played this earlier in the show, making fun of him. But why would Gavin Newsom tell such a ridiculous, outrageous, easily verifiable, outright lie?
I said in a moment ago, wake up, America. Wake up. You will not have a country if he rigs this election. You will have a president who will be running for a third term. Mark my word. I wasn't exaggerating when I said that I received in the mail a Trump 2028 hat from one of his biggest supporters. These guys are not screwing around.
Hey, Trump's running again. He's going to run for a third term. It's going to be why would you do that? Well, Democrats have spent 10 years. Think about this. A 10-year investment. Unbelievable amounts of effort. Unbelievable amounts of money. 10 years to tell their cult followers that Donald Trump is the sum of all fears. Donald Trump is the devil himself. Well, Donald Trump isn't running again. He can't. Donald Trump is gone in 3.5 years. Not coming back to politics. Not coming back to the presidency. But if you're a Democrat, you've already told the sheep that this is the sum of all fears. That this is what we're fighting against. It's already built in to them that he is the end of everything. So you have to keep campaigning against him because you have made him the devil in the mind of every single Democrat in the United States of America. They hate him to the core. If inflation dropped tomorrow and crime was eliminated tomorrow and everybody's taxes went down and all these things, if you went down the list of all these tangible things that make people's lives better, the Democrat in your life would still hate Donald Trump because that's what the cult demands. That's what the religion demands. That's why every Democrat talks about Trump, 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 Trump. If you're local, remember I played that guy, Omar Fateh, that's Somali. Listen, this guy's not running to be a senator, a congressman. He's not running for president. He's not even running to be governor of Minnesota. He's running to be the mayor of Minneapolis. Listen to what he campaigns on.
Day one, if you were elected, what would be some of your top 2-3 priorities for the city?
So that's a very good question. So the first I would say would be a hostile federal government with not only Donald Trump in office, but he has essentially a trifecta. Both chambers of Congress and the Supreme Court. And a lot of our neighbors, especially our undocumented residents, are very concerned.
You're going to be the mayor. It's a city. Like any major city, well, big and small, it has problems, it has needs. Roads, infrastructure, schools, police, fire, teachers. Minneapolis has a ton of local problems that must be fixed locally. Hey, soon to be mayor, what are you going to do? I'm going to fight Trump. That's how Democrats campaign now. You could find Democrats across this country running for extremely local positions, like school board, like I mentioned, and they will campaign against Donald Trump. 10 years making him the devil. 10 years of it. There is nothing, absolutely no life improvement at all that would make Democrats supportive of Donald Trump or say a nice word about him. 10 years of programming, 10 years of cult conditioning over and over and over and over and over again can't be done. Bronco, I'm a nurse, Christian, single dad, and thanks to you, devout anti-communist. The other night, I had a patient who was a young man with severe cerebral palsy and multiple congenital defects that I had to care for. This young man and his family were illegals. I did my best since Yo Hablo and enjoyed caring for him, even though it took time and effort away from my other patients. The whole time, I was divided in my thinking between who's paying for this and can't you find this help in Mexico versus God wants me here. I'm no saint. I work my job to provide for my daughters and understand that cases like this leech off of our country, but it was spiritually fulfilling to help this kid. I would love your opinion in this matter. His name is Zach. Buddy, there's nothing wrong with caring for somebody. Caring, it's especially for a young man with severe problems like that. Loving on that person and caring for that person is completely wonderful. You can despise illegal immigration. You can want every illegal deported, and I do. And at the same time, if you're on your way home from work tonight and there is an illegal woman and her car's broken down on the side of the road, even if she's wearing a sign that says, I'm here illegally, I would hope you and I have a heart to stop and help. You can love and care for individuals, especially people in need, while still fighting for the good of your country and your countrymen. You don't have to be conflicted at all. You are 100% right to have loved on that young man and cared for that young man, and you're 100% right to want him deported when you're done. Also, I do, speaking of all this, I really have tried to improve buying my products and services from companies who hire Americans. We can't ignore that illegals get employed in this country and legal foreigners get employed in this country. Pure Talk hires Americans. Customer service is the easiest thing in the world to farm out to foreigners. It is. You get a call center going anywhere, any dump in the world. That's why you can't understand when you call in and they can't understand you. Pure Talk has been hiring Americans long before Donald Trump got back into office. They believe in this country. They believe in their countrymen. And they don't farm American jobs out to foreigners. Verizon does, AT&T does, T-Mobile does, Pure Talk does not. And you can save money. Switch to Pure Talk. Switch to Pure Talk. Switch to the company run by a veteran. Switch to the company that hires Americans. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Bronco, little hands, not nice. One thing I never heard you complain about is the absolute worst thing about being with a short woman, the seat settings they have in their car, or if she happens to use your midlife crisis ride. I'm a mere mortal, unlike the freak show that you are, and it's terrible hopping in her vehicle only to be smashed against the steering wheel. I would think you'd need to call the fire department. What's your secret for avoiding this? Okay, so I have a couple things on this. First, as you know, Ob is tiny and I am gigantic. I am 6'8 and she is 5'2. Now, for the situation you just described, it would sound like it would be a problem for me, but it's actually quite easy, you see. When Ob drives my car, if that ever happens, obviously the seat settings will be hers. But she is so extremely short that I can't get in. I can't get in, and it's obvious I can't get in. And the car, I mean, every car has this now, has the seat settings, the preset settings on the door. I automatically, when I open up the door, can see that I physically can't fit. And so I just, boop, press the button, and the seat goes back so I can get in the car. That's the good news. Here's the worst news, and I should have told you about this a while ago, but I didn't want to tell you. Back when I had my midlife crisis car, I didn't want to tell you I was going through this because I didn't want to tell you what the car was. Everybody knows by now, I told you. In my midlife crisis car, which I've since gotten rid of, I went out and I bought a Mercedes, okay? I'd never bought a nice car. I would just only had pickups ever. I signed this Premier Networks deal. I wanted a nice car and I bought a Mercedes, all right? Now, there is something, I'm guessing this is most modern cars, and I'm not trying to dog on the car at all, which I had a lot of fun with, but everything is computerized now. The entire thing is one big computer. And I'm not trying to be old Jesse, you know, and roll down my window using the little knob thing like we all had to do. I'm not doing that. I'm really not. But it is an adjustment for me, and I don't necessarily like it that everything is run on a computer. I don't want to have to log into my car when I start my car. I just want to start my car and drive it. I don't want the computer system to have to recognize my... I just want to put my car and drive the car. Anyway, this particular car had a flaw that physically almost injured me multiple times. Here was the flaw. When you started the car, I wasn't making that up when I said logging in. It had a fingerprint scan thing on the dash. And when you started the car, you had to put your finger on there to read your fingerprint, and it would log you in to your profile, right, with the way you wanted the dash set up and everything. Again, way too techie for me. Just give me a speedometer. I don't need all this, but beside the point. You had to press your finger on there. But those fingerprint readers, they don't work if your finger is oily, if your finger is wet, if your finger... That's everybody's fingers all the time. Your finger is always a little wet, right? At least in Houston, at least in the summertime, you're going to have wet fingers or greasy fingers. I'm always eating something. I would log in, or I would start my car, and I would put my finger on the fingerprint scanner, but it wouldn't read it. Now, here was the flaw. If it didn't read my finger, it would begin to shove the seat forward into the steering wheel. And I don't mean like a little bit forward so it's a little cramped. As close as you can possibly move the seat to the steering wheel, that's what it would automatically do just by default. If I didn't get logged in time, I am embarrassed to tell you the words that came out of my mouth in desperation, trying to log in as my knees, because there was no room. I can't go wider, that my knees would be jammed into the dash and my head is starting to creep up into the thing and I'm mashing the button and screaming the whole time, just log in. You sitting there the entire time trying to get logged into the thing was a nightmare. It's part of the reason I got rid of it and didn't even consider getting another one. I'm like, I'm not living this life again. What, Chris? What? Chris said, I need an older car. You're exactly right. I can't do it. This is why Chris and Corey make fun of me because I can't do technology. It's not only that I can't do it. I hate it. I despise it. I understand the incredible convenience technology can bring when it works. But when it doesn't work, it's awful. Absolutely awful. Sounds great that you can log into your car with your fingerprint. In principle, it would be great. It's not so great when you have too much jack-in-the-box grease on your finger. You can't log in, and all of a sudden your knees are up by your ears. Absolutely awful. Completely awful. Hate it. Hate it. Every single second of it. Despised it. So, there. That's my car story. Let's talk about J.D. Vance bringing Elon Musk back into the fold. First, somebody wants to know how many people on our side, on the right, radio, TV, how many are phonies? Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, your dog food is phony. Do you know that? The ingredients, I should say, the ones they advertise on the front of it. Have our beef and fish blend. What beef and fish? Why do you think it's brown? If there was actually fish in it, how long do you think it would last? Dog food companies kill everything in dog food so it lasts longer, so they can ship it across the country. Did you know this? Here's a tidbit for you. Dog food at the factory, you can hold it in your hand. Your dog won't eat it. They have to spray it down with things like lard to make it so your dog will eat it. Dogs eat vomit. They won't eat dog food. Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food so your dog can actually have nutrition, vitamins, and minerals so your dog can live longer. So your dog will have fewer health problems. So his coat will look better. His energy will be better. You want a better dog that lives longer? RoughGreens.com. Number one dog supplement in America. RoughGreens.com. Love these guys and what they've done for Fred. Or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. Just remember, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. I'm so happy the weekend is almost here. Before I get back to the questions, remember you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jewish producer Chris was asking about Vladimir Putin and that meeting with Trump earlier today when Putin went and got in Trump's limo. And, you know, Trump could have killed him or had him killed right there. But here's the thing about that. As a country, and the smart countries know this, as a country, your reputation globally is worth a lot. If the United States of America, setting aside Russia's response, which would undoubtedly be nuclear, if you coaxed their leader into your country and then murdered him, they would drop a nuclear weapon on the country, and frankly, they would have every right to do so. They would. You can't do that. And I would want us to do the same thing to them. If they had talked Donald Trump into going to Moscow and then assassinated him, make Moscow glow in the dark within the hour. Goodbye. You have to do that. You have to do that as a show to the rest of the world. This is what happens if you touch our people. Anyway, let's set that aside. Your reputation as a country. Let's use Japan as an example. The world during World War II was completely on board with smashing Japan to powder. And you know what prompted a lot of that? It was the treacherous way they conducted themselves in various ways to most of the world with a different mindset, a different mentality. It looked treacherous and evil. Pearl Harbor. Attacking Pearl Harbor was not what Japan, it was not, that was not the treacherous thing. Attacking it without declaring war was viewed by the world, including America, as an evil, treacherous sucker punch. If they had declared war an hour beforehand, there wouldn't be near the venom for Japan afterwards. They bombed Pearl Harbor before we were even at war. Now, Japan had a different mentality, an Eastern mentality. Why would I give you a heads up? Of course I'm going to sucker punch you. Then I'll make up a lie. Oh, I guess the ambassador got lost. We meant to declare war. Then that's really what they essentially did. But to the world, that's treacherous. Ugh, screw them. Bomb them to powder. And then the horrible things they would do to our prisoners, to hospital ships. They didn't appear to be on the other side. They appeared to be a treacherous force for evil. So the world was all, yeah, nuke them, screw them, I don't care. If the United States of America could talk, the leader of any country, we sold it as a peace talk, and you walked into there, you allowed him to walk into your country, sold it as a peace talk, and assassinated him, it would be more devastating to this country, reputation-wise, than the nuclear weapons Russia would drop on us. Because the entire world would view the United States of America, instead of being a fairly honest broker, to be an evil, treacherous place you can't touch. We would lose trade deals. We would lose allies. Our reputation would be mud internationally if we talked a leader into our country. We sold it as a peace talk and murdered him. It would not be worth it. And by the way, just in practical terms, people don't seem to realize that there are several men underneath Vladimir Putin who would take over after Putin, you know, died if we assassinated him. After they killed each other, of course, the last one who was standing that are way more militant than Putin would. Way more militant. If one of those guys was running things, he would already drop the nuke in Ukraine. I can't freaking see it. Remember, this is something Americans get way, way wrong because our politicians are morons. Taking out an evil leader is not always a good thing. It's always sold as a good thing. That's the propaganda of it. Don't you want to get rid of Saddam? He's evil. Yeah, he is evil. He tortures people. He sure does. A madman. No question about it. Don't you want to get rid of him? Not really. Because I don't know what's coming afterwards. Remember that. Jesse, Bronco the Beaver Slayer, he says, what percentage of conservative commentators and influencers do you think are just playing a role to gain followers and make money? My dad watches Fox 24/7, but I don't really trust anyone there. I could see many of them getting off work, going straight to a cocktail hour on a yacht somewhere with clowns from other networks. I feel the same way about a lot of social media personalities. Don't let this go to your head, but you might be the only voice on the right that I fully trust. He says his name is Shane, and he requested this. Okay, so first, when it comes to the trust issue, here's the thing about media personalities. When they go national, when a media personality goes national, that generally is going to come with money. It's going to come with a certain degree of wealth. People will distrust wealth. It's a natural inclination of people to, when the guy's sitting there talking to you about anything, life, politics, whatever, and he's talking to you from a fancy house or a fancy car, or you mentioned a fancy yacht, it's just human nature to kind of look at him with the side eye even more. There's a natural envy in that, and there's a natural distrust that comes from that. Very natural. As far as what percentage are just playing a role, I think that a lot of people, at least the ones that I know, initially at least, started talking politics for the same reason you talk politics. They liked it. They loved it. There are some people you see on television, you hear on the radio, they didn't necessarily start out being political or activists. They started out as journalists and then kind of drifted over to the right because that's where the popularity or that's where the money is. I'm not saying they're all bad either, but those are people you should probably be suspicious of. I don't know what's in someone's heart, right? But I will say it's not an accident that I don't hang out with political people. I don't. I don't hang out with media figures. I know many of them. I count very few of them as genuine friends. Michael Berry, my mentor, is a genuine friend. We are personal friends. Buck Sexton, Clay Travis, they are friends. We are friends, genuine friends. And I have others that I have listened to and watched and done that, but I don't need to hang out with them. I am as distrustful or more distrustful than you are. This is why I don't want to live in New York City or D.C. or anything. I prefer the company of normal people. That is what I prefer. Last night, went and hung out with a couple buddies of mine. One of them is a manager at a car auction place, and the other one works construction. Those are the people I enjoy hanging out with. Fame, look, I worry about this for me. I've told you this before. I'm still new to this world, I guess. But getting older now, 7 years into it, what if I become a sellout? I worry about that. Look, I'm not tempted at this point in time, but how do I know what I'm going to feel like tomorrow? But I don't know. What if I become fake? A freaking sellout. I worry about that. And I have no desire to leave or retire. I'm not going anywhere. Unless they fire me, I'm not going anywhere. But I'll tell you this, if I feel myself going that way, I'm quitting. I am. I'll leave. I don't want to do it. I'll go find something else to do. I've done plenty of other things before. All right. Let's talk about J.D. Vance and Elon Musk. Let's first make some preparations. You insure your car, don't you? You insure your home. you hopefully have some health insurance. I know sometimes that leaves us when we leave our job, but you take steps to protect the valuable things you own. What steps have you taken to protect your retirement that you worked for? You put away how much? 10%, 15%, 5%? How much of your earnings every year did you sock away? Not going on vacation, socking it away so you can retire. Now, don't you think that's worth protecting with precious metals? I look at Gold Co. as a bodyguard for my retirement, so I can quit someday, the day I want to quit. I cannot possibly lose it all because precious metals have value no matter what. They always have. They always will. The value of the precious metals you get from Gold Co. will outlive all of us. It will outlive the country. That's wild, right? Gold Co. will handle it. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Not some scammers. They'll help you, and it's easy. Let them get some in your hands and in your retirement. Call 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I will miss you for the next 2 days, but I'll be back Monday. Don't panic. I'm going to be here. Remember, you can email me if you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I did promise Jewish producer Chris that I would tell the story really quickly of my dad killing my sister's cat. It was an accident, so calm down, cat lovers. It was a complete accident, and he felt horribly about it, but that's not the worst part of the whole story. So we were young kids, and we didn't have central heating in the house, but we had a fireplace, which was not uncommon back then. We had a fireplace. And so my dad would split firewood. We always split firewood growing up, saving money. Even when we had central heat, he wouldn't let us turn it on half the time. So I grew up splitting firewood. I split firewood actually pretty well, always splitting firewood. Well, I wasn't splitting firewood at this time. I'm a young child. I would guess my sister was 5 or 6. I don't even have any memory of this. This is just a story that's been told to me. My dad is out by himself splitting firewood. As he's splitting it, he's chucking it into the bed of his pickup truck. Splitting it, chucking it. Splitting it, chucking it. Splitting it, chucking it. Well, his buddy at a farm had an extra kitten. My dad brings it home, you know, like dads do, for his daughter. Here's your cat, honey. Okay, good deal. Mickey loves the cat, of course. Kid, her cat. He's splitting firewood, splits it, turns, chucks the log into the bed of the truck without looking, because you're not looking the whole time. There's the freaking cat. It was not a big cat. It was a big log. I'll skip the details because of how many animal lovers are crying right now. The cat died. My dad, he was a little rough around the edges. How do you handle that situation? I've had to tell the boys one time that a dog they loved was dead. It was my parents' dog, Jack. They freaking cried. It was awful. It's awful. It's awful. I dread the day Fred goes and I have to call the boys and tell them about it. My dad, I don't know that I'd go this route. My dad tells Mickey that it ran away. He tells her her new cat, which he just killed, ran away. And so she keeps waiting for it to come home. It never did come home. And he didn't tell her the truth for years. It was years. I think she was in high school by the time he finally fessed up and told her that her cat ran away. That's terrible, Dad. You made me laugh, sir. I miss you, buddy. Dear Bronco, what are your thoughts about J.D. Vance urging Elon Musk to re-enter the MAGA sphere? It seems to me that Elon never really left, just had a fight with the president. He still has political views intact. We do owe him an awful lot. It would be great to get the band back together again. Thank you. I love your show. Her name is Elena. That's a beautiful name, Elena. All right, so I don't worship, you know, these types. You know, I don't do that, any man really. But I have a great, great deal of respect for Elon Musk doing what he did do. richest man in the world, joining our side, putting vast quantities of his money where his mouth is, purchasing one of the largest social media platforms, so we now have at least some form of truly free speech after the communists owned it all. Look, we can't undersell what Elon Musk did. That's a fact. But here is also a fact. Do you remember how ugly that little meltdown was when Trump and Elon had a falling out? And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Donald Trump was actually pretty mature during that whole thing. And Trump's usually not like that with a public spat, right? Trump will, your mother was ugly. You know, there's nothing Trump won't say when it's a public spat. Trump was, remember that, Chris? He was pretty laid back. He was not the aggressor. And Elon Musk went nuts with the things he was saying. Nuts with the things. At one point in time, telling everybody Trump's in the Epstein files, and it went nuts. We want Elon Musk to stay on our side, and we should appreciate what he has done for our side. However, I cut off crazy in my life. If you ever, remember I've told you this before, if you're my friend, if I know you and you blast me publicly in any way, social media anyway, without just sending me a text or something like that, I will cut you off forever. Now that doesn't mean I don't forgive, but we will never talk again. You are cut off. You will be blocked in every form. I'll block your email address. I will never speak to you again. That is not out of a lasting bitterness. It's really not, because I don't hang on to it. I can move on. What you showed me was, if things get bad enough, you have a bad day, we have a bad fight, our disagreement is bad enough, that you are the kind of person who will blow up publicly. If you are the kind of person who will blow up publicly, you're always that kind of person. You make the mistake with crazy people, especially when they apologize, they make amends. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell you your face was ugly on Facebook. I apologize, I deleted it. And we make the mistake of thinking they're sorry, it won't ever happen again. That's who they are. The friend, the woman, the man, the mom, the sister, the son, the employee, the whoever who blows up publicly once is never, ever only once. That public meltdown was really, really bad. What happens the next time we make him mad? You think that's going to be the only time? Think that was a one-off? It's never a one-off. Remember this. If you can take one piece of advice from me on a Friday and remember it forever, learn to sniff out crazy and have the courage to cut it off. Learn to sniff out crazy in every walk of life, business, professional, personal. Learn to sniff out crazy and have the courage to cut it off. I will see you Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.